today. All right, it's 6:02 on Tuesday, January 20th, 2026. Call the meeting to order for the City of Othello Planning Commission, and we will start with roll call.
Maria Martinez.
Ruth Sawyer.
Daniela Voorhees here.
Present. Rob Simmons here.
Jose Garza here.
Chad Robbins here.
Donald Burns here.
All right. And is there any public? Oh, sorry, I almost moved ahead. I was thinking that we were going to welcome you guys. So we have two new board members today. And so when I was new on the board, which wasn't very long ago, commission members, we just kind of introduced ourselves and explained a little bit about ourselves and maybe why you wanted to be on the commission.
Did you?
So go ahead, Chad.
So I'm originally from here. I was born in Moses Lake, but I was raised here. I graduated Othello High School in 2001, and I've been an electrician for about 12 years now. Started my business about 5-6 years ago, and just was looking for a way to get more involved in the community, and then I saw this post on Facebook, and here I am.
All right.
I'm Donald Burks. I've lived here 10 years now. It's been a good community for me, and I like to support our local efforts to make progress, and so I volunteered. And the mayor said, sure.
So one thing that was shared with me when I first came on was this is a pretty informal setting. It's, as Chris liked to call it, a think tank. So, you know, we'll have discussions about things. There's not this, we're not doing any strict Robert's Rules of Order by any means. We use them in the process of going through the agenda. But even sometimes we'll ask for input from the visitors. What am I trying to say? Public. Anytime you want to, I'll try to always ask for input on things, but anytime you want to just raise your hand if you have something you want to say and feel free to give any input. I'm sure at first you'll be just listening and learning, but I bet you have some things to say. Everyone's here, so there's no excused absences. So the next item is public input. Do we have some? Chris, come on up to the mic. State your name, please.
Chris Doro, 850 East Hemlock. I actually have a few issues I wanted to bring to you all tonight. The first is a point of order, which the city is probably going to have to get some explanation on. I don't know if it's against policy to have three Rotarians sitting on the same committee. So we might have to check if that is out of order. I don't know for sure on that, Ann.
Do you feel like it influences your decision? Not even making decisions, so it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, it doesn't matter what I think anymore. I just wanted to check on that. But the other thing I wanted to do was take the opportunity to introduce your liaison, Alma Carmona. I know you all know her. So she's been selected as your liaison to this group. And also wanted to recognize new City Councilwoman Kelly Kemp, who is here tonight, and we're all looking forward to what you guys have to do and have to say about the comprehensive plan. All three of us make up the committee on the comprehensive plan, so you may see us here a few times to be more in sync with what you all are doing. And of course, anywhere where we can help you all, please let us know.
Great. How many are on that committee?
I think it's the three of us. Yeah,
just a three-person committee, and it's you three.
Yep.
They said the three new ones going to be on the committee.
Nice. Yeah, well, you know.
Well, there was a lot of work to go around, so.
I mean, for sure, it's a good three, so you guys.
I think you got a very good three. A
couple of you have been kind of looking at that stuff for a little while, too. I know for sure. I don't know if Kelly has, but you guys, good. Well, good, because if I have questions, you know I'm deferring.
Thank you all very much, and good luck, Rob.
Thanks, Chris. Speaking of comprehensive plan, we, as I'm sure you all saw in our packet, we've got the comprehensive plan update. And I don't know, Andy, you just want to kind of go into that? There's some things that aren't action items, others that...
Back up and do the minutes, approval of the minutes.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so...
Chris, I already screwed up.
I was just about to call point of order again.
I'm going to back up to item three, approval of December 15th, 2025 meeting.
So from the time I sent the packet out today, I did make a few typo corrections in the minutes. So page one of the minutes, page three of the packet, bottom paragraph, like four lines from the bottom. I had now twice in that sentence, so I took out one of them. Then on the third page of the minutes, which is page five of the packet, the part about halfway down the page where it's talking about racial disparities. So Rob had talked to me this morning and just had some clarifications of how it was worded. So just take a look at how it's worded, the way we revised it, so that it's not schools outside city limits, because there are no schools outside city limits. It is, how do we say it?
I can explain if you want, Ann.
Okay, go ahead.
If you remember, one of the concerns that the state had that wanted us to make sure that we were not, or we were taking into consideration with zoning, that we didn't create racial inequity. And I think I had mentioned that, Jose asked about schools, because I think your concern was if there was a new community and they built a school there, what if it would have some racial inequity with other schools in the district? And so just to kind of share what at least they used to do it, the school would look at what the balance was within the city, and then look at communities outside the city, and use those communities to try to balance as much as they could within the schools. So that's what I was trying to get at with that. It wasn't necessarily going, we're going to look at the race there, we're going to balance race. It was also, it had to do with poverty and those kind of things as well. So I called Ann and just asked her to clarify that in the minutes.
And make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. There's been a motion by Daniela Voorhees to approve, and second by Ruth Sawyer. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries unanimously. What is that? 7-0. Do I get to move on now?
Now you can move on.
Okay.
Awesome.
So now we'll go to the comprehensive plan update. Ann, did you want to just start with that, or did you want to?
So this first one was just an overview for you to be kind of get yourself familiar with what we're doing, where we're going, why we're doing it. And I also handed out to you this one that is just kind of like a two-page overview of the schedule of everything. So with this item, I guess I would answer any questions. I didn't really feel like you needed a presentation. It was just informational.
I thought you weren't going to be here, but I didn't do one. That's okay.
So does anybody want me to go into it in more detail, or do we want to move on? I don't know, especially the new commissioners might not even know what to ask yet. But if you read it over, did it make sense to you?
Would you like any further explanation of it? Or, I mean, if you went through your packet and read it and understood it, no problem. If we want to go over it and kind of what it's all about, we can do that.
If there's a 5-minute... Yeah. Quick review of it maybe would be helpful.
maybe.
So there. Where to start? So we have a comprehensive plan that guides our, that's kind of the framework and the guide for what we base our zoning map and text on. And we are required to update that about every 10 years. In the past, it was shorter, now it's 10 years. And so we are starting on that process to update it. We want to make sure we get a lot of community input, make sure we're representing everybody in this document, that it's what, it's kind of the vision of where do we want to be in 20 years? What do we want Othello to be in 20 years? That's kind of the one sentence summary of what we're doing. A few other things that we need to deal with in the update is we need to deal with our critical area ordinance, which is wetlands, habitat, that kind of thing. We're in pretty good shape on that. We'll just do some minor updates on that one. And then the rest of it will be the comprehensive plan, like looking at what should the areas be, what should they be zoned, even though it's not the zoning, it's like the step before the zoning, but what do we, as the city develops the new areas, what, how do we want those to develop? What's our plan? What's our plan for infrastructure? What's our plan for roads? And where do we want to get to in 20 years? And so in the comprehensive plan, there are about 7 chapters. We'll have a few more after we update it. But we're going to look at land use. We're going to look at transportation, housing, the capital facilities, which is things like city hall, police department, the utility systems. We'll look at economic development. We'll look at parks and recreation, conservation and environment. There's a new requirement for a resiliency element, so we'll look at that. And in each of those elements, those chapters, there's going to be goals and policies, actions, also an overview of where we're at now and where we want to go. So that's why I have the 5-minute summary. I don't know if that answers questions or raises more.
And I have a question on the on the 7 items that you have. Would the annexation be on economic development or on land use, or is annexation even on any of this?
So, annexations kind of affect everything. So, in your land use chapter, you're going to say what future areas, how they should be zoned. In your capital facilities, you're going to look at how would you serve those areas. Transportation, you'd look at what would the roads be for, you know, future areas. So, I mean, annexation is part of it because we are looking at what happens in the next 20 years. Where do we grow? How do we grow? So,
Chris.
Sure.
Jose, I completely understand your question on that. What we need from you, the best thing that you can do to help us, we can't predict or say where annexations are going to be, but you all maybe could set the boundaries on where land, where Othello can grow. When you do that, I really liked your question, Chad, about the process that you're gonna go to. I want you to really pay attention. What is happening with our population dynamics? There's a great graph in there that flat out is shocking. You know, from the 70s to the 90s, we had very little growth. But since the 90s, we've had explosive growth. And because of that, we have put Othello into some areas where we have some shortcomings, and we've got some areas where we need some better support. For example, housing. A lot of you folks have already been educated on this, that we have a housing study, and when the housing study came out at the time, we needed 1,500 units to house the people who wanted to be in Othello. We have addressed 400 of that number. So how is our comprehensive plan going to address that problem? Another issue we have is, I want to build a restaurant. Where can I build it? Nowhere. Why? Because there's no commercial property available right now. The people who have that commercial property that hasn't been developed, have plans to do it in the future, so they don't desire to do any more of it. And what's available is three areas. Two of them probably aren't as desirable as one, but that's it. So how are we going to increase our commercial land? How are we going to create the opportunities for Othello to grow reasonably? And I think a failure in the last comprehensive plan was because we are partially planned, which probably understanding that would be good for this group as well. They had this big giant area that you could develop into. That created quite a hassle about 4 months ago, and for people to understand the what's, whys, and hows. So you all are going to set the table for how we can do that in the future and do it wisely with the best ideas. Now, also be a little careful of what you do, because you could also prevent growth as well. So you really got to think about what's needed, where we're going, how we would want Othello to grow, how those impacts will happen for who is here now and who's to come in the future. You know, if everything shifts out to the highway, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? How do we manage that appropriately? How do we access that appropriately? This is a big deal. And I can tell you right now, you guys are the thinkers for us. We're going to count a lot on what you guys come up with to drive forward. This is a big job. It's a big deal. I'm a little jealous I came off the planning commission now, but I'm going to try to be here as much as I can to help out and give some guidance on that. So that's what you're doing. Take a look at those population dynamics. What do you think Othello could be in the future? You know, we have a lot of reports. It's the Boyd report, the beverage report, that has us as the top place to build a beverage factory. What do we got to do to make that happen? How are we making sure that the growth we have isn't infringing on our heavy industry? And where does that make the most sense to happen? You know, where does it make the most sense to add commercial land? What things do we need to make that happen? That's the job ahead of you guys, and we're going to all work together to make that happen.
Thank you. To clarify as well, this body has discussions and ultimately makes recommendations to the council. The council makes the ultimate decision.
Okay. Can I get a quick, rundown on how annexation works? I mean, I get the idea of the word, but what's the process of that? And what, as far as a solution to, sounds like commercial property being an issue, that's the idea behind annexation, to have more area to zone commercial?
Well, I think, and that's why I mentioned up, because I feel like within that seven topics, we're going to have a discussion on it regardless. And I just wanted to clarify at what topic is that. And so it seems like Ann was saying it's going to be on land use. And so at that point.
And annexation is driven by developers that request to develop land, right? And based on if they want to develop land.
It starts with the property owner making a request to be annexed.
Okay.
So if they want to build a development that's outside city limits, they can request to have that property annexed to get city services.
Oh, I see. So residential, or I guess inside city limits is, I guess, if it's zoned commercial, it's fair game.
It is.
But if it's out of city limits, it needs to be annexed first to be zoned commercial.
Okay. Well, zoning. Well, has commercial zoning.
Oh, okay.
But depending on what you're doing, you may want to be in the city because you may want city water and sewer. A restaurant, it would be hard to do a restaurant with a private well and septic. So you'd probably want to be in city limits.
I just, if I could.
Go ahead.
Chad, I love that question again. So your growth management area, and again, it's really important to understand the difference between a partially and a fully managed growth area. That's a big deal. And you'll probably cover, I'm sure, some of that because you know it way better than me. So when you talk about where Othello can grow. Now, after you determine where Othello can grow, you all will determine what type of growth will happen in those, what's allowed by your zoning. Mm-hmm. So you will set up the zones that are, for example, on this map, that will show areas where you have to have single-family dwellings, where you can have multifamily dwellings, where you can have higher densities. And again, this all, you got to look at it very logically. Where does this make sense for this to happen? Where do these zones make the most sense for the future of the town? Where does it make sense to have commercial areas where you can sell stuff, you know? And where's the best traffic? What's the best roads that could provide that sort of support? Is there enough space for that? That's what you guys will determine after you determine how far we can grow. Now, annexation is going to happen. If you guys do a really good job of making a plan, and it's an attractive plan, then you're going to have developers, like Rob said, who are going to want to make investments into this community. I had somebody ask me just the other day, said, Chris, if I had $10 million, $10 million, where would I invest it? In Othello, and I want to make a lot of money. And I said, you're going to invest in commercial on Columbia Street.
But you guys are going
to make that happen. So that's, you know, you go from here to here. And your zoning is actually the here. So set the table, put the best ordinances and rules in place to give everyone the greatest opportunity for Othello to be what it's on the trajectory to be.
I'm going to Olympia tomorrow, so I'm practicing my speeches.
And this is called an update to our 20-year plan.
Yes.
Once we finish this process, though, it will become the new 20-year plan, I'm assuming.
Yes. Okay.
Is it 10 or 20?
Well, it's a 20-year plan that we have to update every 10 years. But basically, you...
So just to clarify that when the 20 years is up, it's not like we start all over. We're just... That will be another 10...
Right, yeah, in 10 years we'll look at it again
plan.
And
okay.
Probably adopt all new things in 10 years.
Okay.
Chris mentioned a couple of times partially planning, so I feel like I should probably explain that. Yeah. So Washington adopted the Growth Management Act in 1990, and it says a lot about how cities and counties have to plan and grow. Some of the slower growing counties, which is about 10 counties, 10 or 11 counties, but only 5% of the population is only partially planning. So we don't have to comply with all of the Growth Management Act. That lets us be a lot more flexible. So that's something in our favor. In a fully planning county, they have an urban growth area outside the city limits, which is what they have calculated is what they need to grow in the next 20 years. We in Othello have a growth area, but it's not so tightly regulated that it's not just the 20-year area. And so that sometimes causes a little confusion. You know, we're trying to plan for the future, trying to plan for the area around the city, but it's not just what's in the next 20 years. So I know that makes it a little confusing for everybody, but I think we want to retain that flexibility rather than having to say, okay, here's our population in 20 years. That's how, you know, here's how much land we need and no more. So we just kind of try to work with it as best we can.
A little grasp of that, of the difference between the planning and partial planning. Okay. Thanks, Ann. So the next item would be the population projection method.
Okay. Yep.
And this one you need us to give guidance on. So why don't you share with us,
sure.
I guess, the key points, and then we can look at the chart and talk about
yes.
what we think is the best way to go.
So I'm sorry, I can't share with my computer tonight, but looking at this graph that is page 12 of the packet. So that shows various ways you could project out the population for the next 20 years. And when we looked at the housing planning last year, what I did was I just looked at how much Othello's population is of the county, the percentage of the county right now, and just projected that into the future not realizing that the city's going to grow at a faster rate than the county. We're going to end up with more people in the city. The percentage is going to, so that's that, that like yellowish line, that bottom line. Mm-hmm. So that, you can see that that line really is not keeping on the trend of where we've been headed since 1990. The green line, the next one up, is pretty much the straight line projection from 1990. And that's what the consultant recommended we use, unless we felt like, if we felt like family sizes outside the city were going to be substantially smaller than family sizes inside the city, then we'd want to look at one of those higher projections. But he really recommended the green one. And I don't know, I feel like he knows a lot more than I do. I'm, you know, looking to trust him more than I trust my own, you know, kind of like gut feeling on it. But.
So the colorblind guy is asking, is the green one the linear trend?
That's the yes. Linear trend, sorry.
Okay. No, that's all right.
You know, we can look at, if we look at the percentage that the city is of the county and how that's been increasing over time, that's what that blue one is, the middle one, mm-hmm. The trend-based percentage of county. And then the other two, get the words right, were compound annual growth rate. If you look at for the past 5 years or the past 10 years, you know, the past 5 years, there's been COVID, so there's been things that have been affecting growth everywhere. You know, I don't know if we'll keep growing at the same rate we've been growing in the last 10 years.
But isn't that what the CAGR is based off our growth from the last 5 years and the 10? I was trying to look up what CAGR meant.
Compound annual growth.
And it's looking
rate.
Back in our 5 years and our past 10 years and how we've grown, right?
Mm-hmm. So I guess the question
linear
is
going all the way from 1990, but the 5 years only going to go back from like 2020, right? Or no? Am I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is 1990 just because that's when this Growth Act was? Why are we using 1990?
I think it's because prior to that, it was not such a straight line. It was more.
Okay.
File, it gave a chart, I think, over the whole.
Yeah, I saw that.
Time.
That was when it.
And so that's this one. And so, you know, from 1920 to 1950, like decreasing, and then there was a big jump from 1950 to 1970, then pretty flat from 1970 to 1990, and then 1990 to now is pretty linear.
Okay.
So I think it's just projecting, going back to that point where it's just been upward trajectory.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
So I just have a question about, I imagine there's pros and cons to projecting too high and projecting too low. Can you share with us the negatives of projecting too low, what it does to the city and planning, and also the negatives of projecting too high?
So if you project too low, then you're not ready when the growth happens. If you project too high, then you're getting ready for growth that doesn't happen yet, and you're like spending money on facilities that you don't need. So that's why you want to try to hit the, you know, the middle of what's really going to happen. You're going to try to predict what's really going to happen, which, of course, is impossible. But
so you've heard Ann's recommendation, but the consultant's recommendation of going with the linear trend, which is evidently the green line.
Mm-hmm.
And so any input from the commission regarding that, if they like that? Or
they also suggested CAGR methods as well. Then he pointed out. So it sounded like it could go either or.
But short answer, I would go
for the five-year CAGCR, just because I feel like things have changed since COVID. So I think if you're looking at a more recent, it still allows us for growth, not too much like the 10-year. But I don't know, that's just my two cents.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Chris?
I do think I need, want something that you all need to consider and think about, okay? So we are working on water stability. If we accomplish that, that puts us in a real interesting position. And if you remember Gil Alvarado's presentation about our electrical situation versus the fact that Grant County can't do anything for quite a while right now with their electrical situation, we are in kind of a unique circumstance where if we maximize those opportunities, that could have some pretty dramatic impacts. Now, as Bob will point out, you do get the opportunity to adjust this after 10 years. But I think that as you look, I really like Daniela's points that she's bringing up about looking at what our trajectory is and what it's been. We're the only town growing in Adams County, and we're growing at a pretty high rate. And we have some things that work out in our favor for even more opportunity. So I just wanted to point that out to be part of your algebra on whichever place you want to settle on. Mm-hmm. But if you have confidence in me, Kelly, and Alma, we're going to do everything we can to make things really good for the city of Othello.
I guess one more thing I'll add about a possible danger of projecting too high in a fully planning growth management county, which we are not, but in those counties, when they project the population, they also have to be sure they're accommodating housing for all of those people at the income levels that they are at. So it would be more dangerous for us to project too high in that situation, mm-hmm. but we're not held to those rules, so we don't have to be quite as careful on that.
Where would we have to be fully planning? Are we a long ways away from it, or?
Oh, it's been a while since I looked at what the growth rates are. I feel like we're not in any danger of becoming pushed into fully planning anytime okay. soon.
And that's not based on size, that's based on growth.
I think it's all based on growth. Sorry, I don't have that answer right
okay.
off the top of my head.
You're over projecting, is that the 10-year, 5-year? Are you saying those two are over projecting?
No, I don't know what's over-projecting.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying that when you're thinking, when you're thinking about it, if you, because Rob had asked me to go through like the pros and cons of, you know, over or under.
What's considered a large variance in terms of, like the difference between 5-year CAGR and trend base is 300. Is that significant or?
Good question.
Actually, you're right. That isn't really very different, is it?
Well, I mean, I think what they were talking about with the water and power usage, it's a big difference when it comes to that. Because then we would have to, you know, figure out how to provide those utilities to those homes. And so,
well, we've built. You mentioned 1,500 is the number of.
Do you want an answer? Or do you want me to?
Well,
answer?
I can't even finish asking. How do I know if I'm going to answer?
He had mentioned that okay. I think it was 400 or 500.
If I could add for you, Chad, to answer your question, because I know what you're asking, and this is what I know and understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, we can add right now with our current capacity for water, sewer, and water, 1,100 units. Is that correct? I thought that was what was presented to me at our last meeting. We have the capacity for 1,100 units, so 1,100 houses or units. So if somebody builds a 300 room apartment complex, that's 300 units. So you can kind of figure it that way. So that's where we're at today with our current infrastructure. We're maxed out at that. But again, there's some things that might change that. So
without equating to people, I believe in here it says that Othello's around 3.4 people per household average. So then you're looking at 3,000, 3,300 to 3,500 people that we could accommodate right now.
The 1,100 units, that's I guess I'm confused by that. Is it units or, because that could be multifamily dwellings, mm-hmm. or is it
be a unit?
Dwelling units.
Dwelling units.
A unit within yeah. that dwelling, okay. Multifamily.
Yeah,
okay.
And I would imagine the per household is based on all sizes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
we also have to consider.
I mean, if you just were to use simple math on that, 3,500 people, right, that we currently could support an increase. Is that, am I looking at that right, Ann?
Yes.
But how does that work with commercial? Because we're just talking homes, right? But we're also thinking about commercial use. And so how does that affect commercial use?
Like
with the water and power?
Hotel.
Mm-hmm. That would also be utility connections. So that would factor against it, yeah.
Another McCain's would be a massive strain on the water. So that would be something that would be unexpected and not come into this 1,100 unit figure, I'm assuming.
McCain has their own wells.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if another McCain's
yeah, so,
came
but
to
Simplot,
town.
Like something like 55% of the water use in Othello goes to Simplot for their processing.
So yeah. The projections Simplot, SPD, Chris was talking about strictly based on residential. Is that safe to say? We have services to handle 1,100 more residential units.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Commercial part of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, unit's a unit.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I need to explain it more.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, just think of a unit being a unit.
But it all depends. So commercial can have a big variation in water usage, I would think. Any utility usage.
So in utilities, they talk about equivalent residential units, ERUs. So a factory that needed a bunch of water, that would, I believe, would be equated into those ERUs.
Okay. So that would be determined later, after
the utilities that we have, those limits would also apply to commercial, which I think was Jose's original question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's good information then for us to go off of with mm-hmm. our recommendation. Any other feelings? So Daniela has said the 5-year CAGR is what she likes. Any other one have strong feelings about any of the other trends? Because this is so that we can let Ann know kind of what we're going to use as we move forward as our trend.
I have another comment, question kind of.
Okay.
I guess just to clarify with everyone is, so like the 1,100 units or the residential, like, those, like, I guess my question is, or my thought is, we have land that's already been annexed, right? So, like, those lands have not been drilled. So, like, if those were max capacity and been drilled and been put units, then that would also subtract that 1,100.
Yes.
So then we have to be cautioned, or that we have to add that in the factor, I guess what I'm saying.
But I guess the other thing is that 1,100 units is not a hard cap, and you know we're not done at that point. The city is working on getting more water rights, getting more water, getting more sewer treatment capacity. So the city's working on expanding the possibilities.
Correct.
But
okay,
there is a limit on what we could do today.
Okay,
does that make sense? I guess I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Think.
You're doing what you're supposed to do, I think. Anything else? Anyone else want to comment on that?
All right.
I think I was leaning toward the middle line just because it made sense to me. But now, based on what Daniela brought up and also then just going with the simple math that my mind came up with, the 5-year makes sense. That's 3,500 more. And knowing that in 10 years, so this is by 4047 or 2047, in 10 years, the commission at that time will be able to look at this again and make adjustments. We're going to see it coming. The city's going to be looking at whether or not they might have to drill a well or something like that. So I don't think it'll be caught by surprise. So I think I like the idea of the 5-year as well. Mm-hmm. What does the rest of you feel like? In agreement with that, or
I think so. Mm-hmm. my limited understanding so far is that it can't hurt necessarily if we plan for that growth and then have to pull back a little bit.
The negatives seem to outweigh the
rather than
positives,
if,
huh?
Yeah, rather
you
than
go
if
too
we
low,
do,
I mean.
If we do have unexpected growth and we undershoot, then we might be scrambling a little bit more.
And you said that it gets reviewed in 10 years again. It looks like that's when the biggest difference has happened. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not too much.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. I concur.
Okay, Ann, did you feel like you have a direction on that?
I do.
Okay.
Do we have to vote? Do we have a vote for that or just let you know?
You can vote if you
want to. I mean, I feel like I've got consensus and nobody's dissenting, so nobody's looking mad.
Not necessarily anything, right?
Okay.
It's just, you know, for our consultant to work on, we just needed some direction, so.
Okay.
By so, consensus rather than a formal vote.
5 year it is.
All right, so if everyone's good, we'll move on to the next part, which will be the public engagement plan. I just want to make a general comment. I think that I was impressed with the engagement plan. I thought it was very thorough. Everything set with each month over the next year and a half, essentially, and knowing that those can change. Some things come up and are reprioritized, but I thought it looked good. I don't have anything specific myself that I had questions on, but I'm sure someone has found something, unless... If not, then I'm sure Chris does.
I got nothing.
What?
You guys are good. I'm impressed.
It was inevitable, I figured, so I might as well just go there.
I just wanted to say, though, as a city councilor, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ignore what you guys said, so.
No, that was, I thought that was good work, so.
Kelly just blew me up.
Any other thoughts from the commission regarding the engagement plan?
Mm-mm.
All right. And the last one is the community profile. This one I nerded out on because I love numbers, and some of these really surprised me. But Ann, why don't you kind of share with us what your thoughts on this? And this was another one where it was just for information for us, right? As we
yes.
move forward and we're making recommendations, we're probably going to be referring to this a lot.
Right, and our consultants as well. They prepared this so that they can, you know, that they know what is going on in Othello. I would expect probably this would be like an introductory section in the comprehensive plan, because another thing about a comp plan is somebody from out of town should be able to open it up and kind of figure out, you know, what's your town about. And this is a really good summary of who lives here and mm-hmm. How old they are and what they do and where they go and things like that.
This might be something that we all print and have handy a lot and get really familiar with, because I think we're going to be maybe have it memorized over the next year and a half.
So I thought that the population pyramid, this one, this is page 27 of the packet. I guess it's a smaller group, but there's a real skinny point at the 15 to 17 year demographic. And so I thought that was a little strange. I guess the other ones are bigger groups, are more like 4 year segments. But anyway, you can see, you know, pretty young population. We knew that already, but it's just interesting to see it in that form. Goes through the education, income. This one's kind of nice because it shows, you know, who lives in Othello, works in Othello, lives in Othello, works outside of Othello, lives outside of Othello, works in Othello. So that's a kind of an interesting interesting to know.
And do you know if when they were looking at who you're employed by If you work online and your employer is in Utah, does that count as who you work for? If you have a job where you work from home, I should say.
I don't know how that works.
Because that 37.9% that's outside all of these areas, including Spokane and Tri-Cities, that was staggering to me.
Likely that is the people working remotely, like you said. A lot of, I mean, not all of them, but...
Well, I just think of someone I know who worked for a fertilizer company, but the company was based out of Europe. And so, yes, they did all their work here locally, but that's not who they were employed by. So that would make more sense to me, especially in ag, because there's a lot of big ag businesses that people work for in our area, work in our area, stay here. But their boss, I guess, is not necessarily local. Another thing that stuck out to me a lot, I don't know if you guys caught this. Average home has increased 90% in value, whereas the average income has increased 34%, something like that?
Yes.
How can young people afford homes?
Thank you for mentioning that. I was about to say the same thing. I was looking for a gap.
Sorry for stealing your thunder.
No, you're good. I was looking at the income. It was like...
But even statewide, it was like... It's 100% increase and 50-some percent increase in wages or income.
From Othello, it went from 42 to 65. Still, I'm like 65,000. Is that for, it's a medium-sized family right there. It's still,
right.
Still not enough.
For are you looking for if we need more clarification on these numbers? Just questions about how they got the numbers, or was it really just informational of here's a lot of the baseline we're going to be working off of?
Mostly informational, and I guess if you see anything that you think, you know, well, that can't possibly be right, that we want them to check and make sure it really is, that would be good feedback.
So I'm not saying it can't possibly be right, but the 37.9 or whatever that work outside the area a long ways, could we get clarification on if that includes people who work remotely from, I guess, their employer's offices.
I mean, you can also say, like, if they work for the sheriff, and they live in Othello, basically it will be a county job.
Yeah, but we took into consideration, actually, it does just so by town, doesn't it? It doesn't go by county. Okay, that would be another question. Good thing to bring up, Jose. When they say places where Othello residents are employed, if they work outside of city limits, where are they putting that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a radius of the city that they're counting on that, but be good to know.
Yeah, I'll ask.
It's a radius, you think?
Well, I mean, this is what this is right here. I think this is just more of their, and their.
Oh, I think that was for illustration. Anything else the commission wants to get clarification on?
Bring up this one. Mm-hmm. Also, I thought was really interesting that in the 1980s, the band of how much housing was built is so tiny in Othello. That was really interesting.
That would match that flat growth probably, right?
Yeah, that was, although 1970s, right before that, there was quite a bit of building. So I don't know, maybe they built too much in the 70s and didn't need any more in the 80s.
Bob, you've been around a while. You got anything to add to that? You might know why. Fair enough.
But and on those housings, like on that particular graph, does that? I guess it probably answers yes, but I'm just making sure mobile homes count for that, or are we only sticking with like actual built-in foundation homes?
It probably would include manufactured. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing because it talks about total housing stock. So,
do you see what percentage of mobile homes we have, though? It's almost nothing.
Well, I guess in town, yes. Out of town,
yeah. And this is just in town. So.
I guess you're right.
So there could have been building going outside in the county, outside the city limits.
Yeah, because we had
in the 80s.
Yeah.
So in Adams County, it's a much bigger chunk. I'm kind of hearing Chris, so I don't know if he's speculating or if he has knowledge. Okay. Okay, so that was the point of that, was mostly, like I said, mostly informational. If you have any questions, I will get some clarification on that 37% other, what that might include, so we know a little bit better about that.
Okay,
so that was all of our comp plan topics for tonight. Thank you. Next month, I believe we'll be talking about vision and goals and policies. So we'll be digging in next month into, you know, the real work of it. So that'll be fun and exciting.
All right, item 5 is new state law updates, new housing in existing buildings and childcare. So there's an RCW that was adopted a couple years ago, 2023 anyway, amended in 25. Changes, it's essentially sounds like it's requiring us to be able to accommodate housing in existing buildings.
Yes.
And all the standards for that. It has to be adopted by June, end of June. So if that's one of those ones, if we don't adopt it, the state will tell us what we're doing. So,
yeah, if we don't adopt it, then it just defaults to the state law. So I'd rather put it in our code and have it be more clear.
So, Ann, do you want to summarize that and then go from there?
Okay. I combined in the draft, because the other part is childcare. We have to allow childcare in all zones except industrial. And so because I was changing the zoning, I was just changing them both at the same time. The childcare one, we wouldn't have to adopt until 2027. I guess I don't see a good reason to wait unless people feel strongly about that. So I didn't make you read the RCW. I tried to summarize it for you. If it's a zone that allows multifamily housing, you have to allow 50% greater density if it's in an existing building. And so in our multifamily zone, in our R4 zone, that doesn't matter. We don't have a maximum density. But in R3, we do have a maximum requirement of 4 dwelling units per lot. So this is saying in R4, they could do up to 6 if it's an existing building. Kind of seems unlikely they could even make that work, but we'll make our code say what it's required to say. The state law is that for converting an existing building, we can't require them to provide any new parking for that.
Bob didn't hear you say that.
So if they're adding a dwelling unit in an existing building, then we can't require new parking. We couldn't require the garage either.
So before we had to require the garage,
Alma, I'm going to make you come up to the mic so that we can catch this.
Will that change?
I guess my question.
We also changed the fact that they can.
Okay, can you hear me? So I guess the question is, when we worked on this, we had discovered that you couldn't convert your garage into living space, correct?
By our
definition. Does this change that now?
Yes.
So then the garages are no longer,
so if,
get my question?
If you're making a new dwelling unit,
you require the garage still. But then it becomes existing, and if they want to go and change that, does this allow them? I guess I'm looking for clarification on that.
So the existing, we can.
So I have something.
Require the existing, what was required before, we can require that to continue. So we could say that the garage has to continue.
And I have a comment on that, and maybe this will clarify, maybe I'm way off. Is there a garage requirement on an R3 multifamily?
No.
So this does not apply in R1 and R2 anyway.
Well,
that's why I'm asking.
It would apply in R2,
mm-hmm.
where you could have two dwelling units per lot. You could take potentially a single family home and put a second.
Make it a duplex.
You could make it into a
okay,
duplex.
I got you. So it would apply in that situation. Not in R1 though, correct?
Can't require more parking. Is that what
right.
this are? Yes,
and
that's what I'm asking.
Duplex isn't required a garage.
So then are we going to have to, are they going to have to go back through and relook at that ordinance we just did?
So duplexes right now require a job or a garage in new construction.
Hmm?
But
no.
If it's an existing duplex that does not have a garage, you can't increase the amount of units inside that existing duplex anyways, because that's not multifamily.
I was just curious.
I thought this
was,
Anne, you were telling me
that to be redone.
You can only do this
so
in multifamily
the
zones.
Density one is only in multifamily zones.
Increasing 50% density.
50% increase in density.
But this applies to all zones
but
where
other
you did
other parts of it. Let me make sure.
Because we just worked on that ordinance like maybe a year ago.
Yeah, in residential zones.
So that's all.
Years ago, yeah.
All.
So that's going to be all zones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then.
So what
this
is the limit
means
then,
that
man?
Has to be.
What's the limit in an R2 that has a duplex on it? That was my question. I said, can you make a duplex into a triplex? And you said no.
Not in R2. But
so what can you do in R2?
You can make a single family into a duplex.
Into a duplex. And in R1, you can't do anything because
correct.
It only allows single. So
mm-hmm.
the only R1 and R2 change that can happen is that people can convert single families into duplexes.
In R2.
In R2.
And that would.
And we're largely R2, though.
That's where that question comes up.
Yeah.
But then you have to.
We're like, yeah. We're
anything
like 85% R2.
But Adam was also saying that about the parking. So, like, if you do change it to a duplex. We're not.
You can't require any additional off-street or a parking besides the garage anyway. But when did the garage rule go into effect?
Oh, but a garage is not required for a duplex, only for a single-family home.
2013.
So when did the garage for the single-family home? 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So this
yes.
will affect all homes between 2013 and right now,
yes.
2023, because it has to have been occupancy permit 3 years or prior. So yeah, it could affect a lot of houses because that's when a lot of them were built here.
So that's what my question was, is that does that ordinance need to be looked at again? Because if we adopt this, is it going to clash with the ordinance we just did?
I could see people doing that.
Nothing.
I just thought it would be easier to fix it all in one, adopt this and amend that ordinance. So you're not going back through later and having to scrub and fix it again?
I might do it. Huh? I didn't think of that, Alma. That's a
you're
really good
welcome.
Question.
You're welcome. Because, yeah, we
it
just.
Out. Sooner or later, it would have happened.
I mean, eventually somebody would have found it, but it better to do it now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Good to know
I may or may not be excited about this, depending on how it goes.
I think you're conflicted.
Hey, I'm not on here anymore. Okay, that's all. Thank you, Ann.
It doesn't matter anyways, because the state's forcing it on us. You don't get to make a decision. We don't get to make a decision. We just have to know what the decision is. No, you'd have to also convert it into a duplex.
Yeah, you'd have to create a new living unit. It's not just living space. It's a new...
It'll be my little apartment then.
Yeah.
Well, I wondered how this affects the whole idea of accessory dwelling units, too.
Wait, go back to that. So she can only do a unit, not space, additional space.
I think that's right, because the state law requires us to allow a new dwelling unit in an existing building.
So what's preventing it to making it more additional space?
Same family.
What's the difference in the definition?
I think the idea is to allow another family to move into an existing building because you've created a new...
Yeah, preventing someone to make additional space, but go ahead and make an additional unit makes more sense.
You're trying to decide if the state makes sense?
I feel like you should be able to do both.
I agree. I feel like it's saying the same thing.
I feel like you should be able to do both.
You have to take that up with your legislator.
Or maybe.
I think
we do have a representative that's going to
the council. I think it's worth talking about. Do we want to revisit that garage requirement?
Yes.
Because the space requirement is the city's zoning, not the state's, right? So now that the state is changing, yes, I agree. I think we should revisit our city's zoning and make that allowable.
Yep, I agree.
But that's just my two cents.
That's what you get the big bucks for.
This is volunteer. What big bucks?
You don't get paid.
You're absolutely right.
Sorry.
The new council.
It is a new council.
It was city council.
Hey, I mean, if you guys decide you want to redo that ordinance, it goes to a new council. Because at the time, it was a solid no. And well, that was 2 years ago. So.
I don't need a girl anymore.
I think a good discussion amongst yourselves as planning commission on what you feel about it now. But yeah, it was something that did come to us, not just for me. Granted, yeah, I did have a reason I brought it up, but there's lots of people who want to know why they couldn't convert their garage space.
Right.
And we did. We tried to fix it at the time, but council was not interested in that idea. So I think it would be worth looking at with this new RCW that's coming in.
Agreed.
Yeah. Nope. I totally agree.
My memory is that Othello was an outlier as far as requiring two garage spaces per house. Yep. I don't think I could find anywhere else that required two. I did find a few that required one, but a lot of cities don't require any garage space.
And you're making Bob crazy.
I'm sitting closer to him, so.
Is everything in him not there, just yeah.
Bob,
I'm not requiring additional parking. I'm sure he went crazy.
I think Chris was purposely distracting you when she brought that part up about if you had a fourplex, you convert it to a six unit. You don't have to have any additional parking for them.
I have an issue with that.
I knew you did.
Oh, you got it.
I think my response to that would be that maybe we need to relook at our zones and requirements and make the everything required more planning on this happening. You know, like have six parking off-street parking things for house, knowing it's going to get more units in there.
Doesn't surprise me that you said that.
Housing be more affordable.
Yeah, yeah.
But we also have to be uniformity, remember? We want us to all look the same.
This very well may, you guys, thinking about it, this might tie a little hand in hand with housing, right? So we might be able to alleviate a lot of housing issues with this. So maybe even looking a little bit at the benefits with the housing action plan, maybe just bringing that back into the loop a little bit for them. Just with you guys, a lot of you being so new, that housing action plan is really what we looked at when we looked at the garage thing the first time around, mm-hmm. was how to create more living space with being locked in the way that we are, right? Because we can't force a developer to come in. So how can we address some of the housing issue? So that might be really worth looking at too when you guys look at this again.
But I think the garage thing is, it has to be a duplex, correct? It's not a separate building outside of the home.
When you say the garage thing, what do you mean?
Because there is, like, there is homes that have...
Detached garage.
A detached garage, and they were approved to make those into housing, like, homes.
ADUs, right?
We did the ADU thing. So that's where that's now allowed, yeah.
So then...
That's separate from this, though.
Okay, that's separate from this.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So you can make a separate garage and do living space, but not if it's attached to your house.
Not make a separate. There's already a garage that was there.
You see my frustration.
Just wanted to make sure I was clear on it.
Yes.
So it sounds like we have some questions for clarification on the RCW, exactly what it's going to entail. So once we start this process, we can...
I agree.
Get clarification on that, I would imagine?
Yep.
Okay,
so the next one is that the city may not impose permitting requirements on the use of an existing building for residential purposes beyond those required for all residential development in that zone. I don't think that one's an issue. I couldn't think how that would apply to us and make us change anything. But it would be good for other people to think about that and see what I'm missing. The next one is that the city may not impose design standard requirements like setbacks, lot coverage, beyond those that apply to all residential development in that zone. An existing building, it's existing wherever it is. If it doesn't meet the setback, it's existing where it is, and our code already deals with that. So again, I don't see this one really as an issue. The next one is we can't impose exterior design or architectural requirements. We don't require those for residential. We do have some design standards in commercial, where right now, if you took an existing commercial building, and you converted it to residential, and the dollar value was enough to trigger it, we would require those design standards on the exterior.
I'm going to back up just because I just read this again. What about number two, when we go back to this whole garage thing?
Okay.
A city may require the retention of existing parking that is required to satisfy existing residential parking requirements and for non-residential uses that remain after the new units are added.
Mm-hmm.
Does that... A garage is required parking right now, right?
For a single family. It's not, a garage is not required for a duplex.
So you're saying by changing
the use to a duplex, then you no longer have
that requirement?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the way I read it.
Okay. Carry on.
Okay. So the next one would require some changes in our code. So it's saying that we can't prohibit housing units in any specific part of a building. And where this applies is currently we say in some of our commercial zones, you can't have residential within a certain distance of Main Street or Highway 26. And so this is saying if there's a building, existing building, and they convert it, even if it's within that distance, we'd still have to allow it. So.
I see a future for Simmons Family Chiropractic building. It's a one bedroom apartments.
I did ask, so my question was, all the other sections say existing building, this one doesn't. But I did ask the Department of Commerce, and they felt that this was only meant to apply in existing buildings, doesn't meant to apply to new buildings. So we can still keep that requirement for new buildings. It's just if they build a building, and then 3 years later they want to convert it, we have to allow that.
Parking is always the issue.
The next part was a bunch of stuff about energy code. I wrote in some stuff to address it. I don't feel like it's that big of a deal. It just was hard to me to figure out where to put that. And I eventually created, I looked at somebody else's code, what they had done, and they put it in their building code chapter. So that's where I put it for our draft. The next one is about can't deny it due to nonconformity in parking height setbacks, elevator size modulation. I don't feel like that one. You know, the parking we already got preempted in the previous one. The rest of it, it just seems like that would just be the building would continue as it was. And then this last one about transportation concurrency study. I don't see where we would require that. Same with the environmental study. But I did write in some language to deal with those. And then childcare, have to allow in all zones except industrial and open space. That will be a little bit, because that means if somebody wants to put a childcare center in a residential zone, even in an R1 zone, we have to allow that, which is a little bit, I think, not what people would expect.
And I had some clarification. I just wanted to ask on this. This is stating, though, that it's a home, or if they were wanting to purchase something, tear it down, and then turn it into a center.
Or a vacant lot.
They're allowed to do that.
The child care center is defined very broadly as just like anywhere that provides child care. Right now, we have to allow child care, that's the in-home child care. Mm-hmm. We have to allow those in residential zones. And
we do, yeah.
And we do. But this is saying any form of child care
that
somebody wants to.
Even if it's considered commercial activity. Okay.
Yeah.
I was just looking for clarification on that because it said center, and I thought that was interesting because it wouldn't, I mean, a home conversion is like, you know, a daycare. But a child care center, to me, sounds more like a building, like a business.
Correct.
So, give it in here, but the way it's defined is, here we go. An agency that regularly provides early childhood education and early learning services for a group of children for periods of less than 24 hours.
It could be potentially, yeah, very broad. So it could be a business and it would be allowed anywhere. Okay, thank you. I was just looking for the clarification on that.
I got a question on that for the child care. Like you said, any residential. They have to be
any zone except for industrial and open space.
So just because I had this happen once and they got denied. So how does that work if it's in a HOA?
An HOA is private. So the city doesn't have any input into that. Your HOA, if it's active, can prevent something, but the city has no.
Okay.
Can the
city would allow it, but your HOA can still deny it.
Can the state do something about it? Can the state say HOAs don't matter?
The state law. Ouch.
And I didn't see any of that in there either. Covenants as well? Does that override
private.
Covenants and
the CC&R, that's private. So the city has no.
So basically, any residential that's
I know
public,
the city can't,
but not private.
I understand the city can't force it, but can the state force it?
Well, this state law says a city may not prohibit. So it's only what the city regulations are.
Okay.
So it's only the city, not private identities. So
you get a lot more people doing HOAs than in covenants to make sure those are, if they want to stop it or prevent it. Okay.
So I guess one thing that we can do is we can decline to adopt the childcare portion for now, if we want to put it off until 2027 when it's, I guess that's next year already, but we can put it off for another year if we wanted to.
So I feel like childcare right now is a little bit of a hot topic and maybe not something that we should visit yet, my personal opinion. Nationwide, I'm not talking about necessarily in Fellowwoods.
I think our state's pretty good. Yeah, I think we're fine, but yeah. We have
that's
time.
Just one person's opinion.
We have time. We have time. We can wait. We have time.
It's not like we don't have any of the work to do.
Because we have to figure that out by what, 2027?
2027 for the childcare.
So,
what are your guys' feelings?
Delay that portion.
Discuss the childcare along with the.
So, with that being said, can we? I know we have a couple child homes in the area. Like, do we have to give them a heads up? Like, hey, we're city's changing certain parameters, certain things.
Well,
or like this more.
City's not changing it. State is.
Well, the state's changing it.
But I mean, what would you tell them that they may have more competition, or what would be your concern?
That they're allowed to be able to relocate.
Oh.
Right, because a lot of those child centers could be homes, and maybe they were like, well, now that I can go at this location, I mean, it allows them to do that. So.
Okay, so I see what you're asking, Jose. So can this be done now because the state has already allowed it, and we just need to set parameters for it in our code, or will it not be allowed until we discuss it and make the changes?
So it right now would not be allowed because that's what our code says. If we wait and do nothing, then we'll be preempted by the state once this
in 2027.
In 2027.
Okay.
Have we had a lot of requests for daycare centers?
I can think of one that I was contacted about not too long ago where they were asking the question, they wanted to be in a commercial zone or in a residential zone.
It's probably a conflict of interest, so I'll probably be quiet.
I'm the only one who's.
I was thinking we should revisit because if we go into the garage, some, you know, people do use their garage as a child care center too. And that would tie up with the garage too.
So you're saying revisit it when we revisit the garage idea, or
I think so.
Right away? Because I think what you're saying, Ann, you had these grouped together. One of them is the adding additional units to a current building, and we have to make a decision on that by June. So was your recommendation, Maria, to include it with that discussion or include it with a discussion that would probably naturally come up with garages? And they might come up at the same time, but it might come up later as well.
I say visit it when we do also the garage.
Okay.
What's your concern if we do it now? Then we'll just get too many daycare centers.
I don't know. I'm not that concerned about it. I just thought it was good.
I'm just curious. I mean, well, I don't care either, myself, so we could wait, we could do it now, it don't matter to me.
The other side of this is we have a very young population, and there's probably a need.
Mm-hmm. No, there's definitely a need, I can say that. I think we've done we did a lot of training for people to do it, and the state has a lot of hoops and stuff for people to get qualified to be a daycare provider.
That's what I say, they all have to register with the state, right, all daycare?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of certifications and there's a lot of classes and college courses they have to do. The issue is there's not a lot of individuals that their homes are acquired to the state's requirements for a daycare center. And
might encourage them to register with the state if they're knowing they're allowed to do it. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, because they're.
That's like, what I'm getting at with what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, because there's like their homes are not able, don't qualify to become a daycare.
Because there might be something about their home that makes it not safe or.
Yeah, there's a ton of inspections that go into it.
Yeah, but they would be encouraged to
go somewhere else.
Go through that process, knowing that they have more options.
For a different location, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
So we would definitely.
I'm okay with either or.
Ruth, what do you think?
Child care is a complicated topic. There are a lot of hoops and there are a lot of people who don't want to go through the hoops.
Mm-hmm.
So.
If one of the hoops is a location to have it, though, this would
I don't think that would solve it, no. Because it's very restrictive.
Oh, yeah.
Provide a certain diet. You have to provide, basically, you have to be a teacher. You've got to learn how to be a teacher.
And you only allow so many. Yep.
Have to have a
so do you think we should wait to discuss it or discuss it earlier?
I just think it's really complicated. So wherever we can spend some time on it, it's a complicated situation.
You're not answering my question.
Doing it now allow more time since
true.
It takes a while?
Doesn't mean we just start. If we start it now, doesn't mean we have to finalize it by June.
Yeah.
And I have one more question on this topic. If allowing child centers in residential, how does the parking look for that? Is that something that the Planning Commission would have to go over with allowing this? And where do you define when it's a home being converted versus a center being converted in an R1 or an R2? Can Planning Commission put those guidelines on this RCW? Where are we allowed to alter this in any way?
So I believe we could set parking standards for a childcare center that is beyond the in-home daycare, the family home daycare, where we really can't require additional parking. But if it were something beyond that, then I think we probably can and should set some parking requirements.
So then with this code being adapted, they should make two sections in that, like subsections, where it's what it looks like as a converted home and what it looks like as a center?
I think so, yeah.
This RCW will allow the Planning Commission to do when they're going through the process of it. So I was just curious what it would look like.
Mm-hmm. Because I want to say the parking part, it goes by square footage, isn't it? For what allowable parking, is that just for a residential?
That would be a commercial requirement, I think. Right?
Mm-hmm. But
because
yes, it would be a commercial use. I don't know that our code has a standard right now. We might need to add one.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to move on over here to, I think, you're in favor of having the discussion now. Not wait. Am I right?
I'm in favor of having discussion, but like have it maybe in like in pieces, like in pieces.
Yeah, no.
We have to July, or we have to 2027. But I think it is a crucial thing that we need to talk about.
But not put it off is what I'm asking.
Yeah, not okay. Put it off, because it does connect to a lot of other things that we are going to be talking in topics. So
okay.
It's not high priority in my list of things to do. We have a lot of other high priorities, but we have
I think if we're already looking at all those codes, we might as well look at this too.
Yeah.
And if we come to the point where we figured out the housing in existing buildings, we haven't figured out the childcare, we can take the childcare stuff out and just move forward to get the other one through the process.
Mm-hmm. But I need to do it now, Anne. Is that your recommendation that we just do?
Well, from what I've heard so far, the leaning was toward addressing it, working on it now. So we can start now, but Rob may want to finish asking what people want to do. But.
I've got three yeses and two on the fence, I think, is where I'm at right now. What do you think, Chet?
If we have the time, I don't know what our constraints are as far as why not.
Okay. Don, what do you think?
Like Chris said, childcare is a very restricted business, had all kinds of rules. The one thing the city should not do is to be careful that nobody runs a childcare center that creates an injury, because then the city would share in the risk of not safely regulating that operation. That's a complicated question. That's hard to tell, though.
I don't think the city, we can only deal with like the use of the building, the inspections and things. It's up to the state to regulate the providers. So yes. I don't think there'd be any liability on the city. We can't say, well, we don't like you and we're worried about you won't do a good job. So
I agree that there's not any reasonable liability for the city, but once you have an injured child, they will sue everybody. And if the city inadvertently allows a childcare center, and we know that it's slightly out of compliance, and that would include us. And we have to defer to the state standards, as complicated as they are, and insist on it. And because if we compromise the standard, then we share in the liability.
Yeah, but this will all go through the filter.
Our discussion is regarding really locations, no changes in approvals for what, who could get a daycare. It would just be their ability to have it in a location that they currently cannot have it in.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, one of the sections in here says, even if the neighbors don't want it, you have to approve it. And
yeah.
That puts you in a bind, and it's hard to do.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm getting the majority saying, let's just continue the discussion along with the discussion regarding additional units.
Yeah.
In existing buildings.
She said if it's not ready, we can just
I'm okay
take
with
it
that.
Out. Or
okay. So I don't remember where we left off here, Ann. Was it 8?
Can I use your mic, please?
Yeah, please take it back.
Is this on? Did you already have legal review all this? Did they have any so?
No, this is just
so you all will make a plan and send it to legal, and then they'll blow it up. And then, no, I'm just kidding, but I mean it's got to go through that process.
Yeah.
Does it? You don't have to do a public hearing or any of that since this is state. Oh, for.
That's part of it.
Yep. It will go through the arena.
Yeah, so you guys will get it set up for the public hearing then.
Yeah.
Sure, we're ready to do that yet. I just wanted to start.
We haven't even discussed code changes yet.
We haven't got that far yet.
Howard,
you guys still have to approve of it.
Thank you very
much. It's gonna be a long year. Okay, so where are we at now?
Oh, Shane could have been here. This would have been way better.
So 7:30. Do we want to look at the potential code changes that I gave you?
There were only a couple.
There weren't that many.
I don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
And we are on page 44 of the packet. And this is the residential zones. So before we had a lot of different categories of childcare. And so this would be collapsing them all into one and just saying it's allowed in all the zones. That seemed to be what the state law was saying. And it doesn't mean that we can't have different standards for how they're developed, but it would have to be allowed. So that childcare centers. So before we had footnotes for some of these other ones as far as required. And so I left in most of the previous conditions. And I guess so family daycare home, I left alone because that's a separate state license. We've had to allow those in residential zones for a long time. So that wouldn't be changed. It would only be a childcare center, which would be something beyond that, which could be more than 12 children in a home, or it could be a separate building, a separate facility that's not a home. So then if we look at the next page on the footnotes, same requirements as before for those childcare centers, outdoor play area, not in the front yard, one parking space per employee, in addition to any resident parking, loading and unloading off street, no signage. The one about the no structural decorative alterations, not, I don't know. That was intended to apply to a house that was used, so I don't know how that applies to something if somebody's building a separate facility. So I'm not sure about that one.
I feel like that's going to have to be rewritten.
Yeah.
Which one?
Letter E of the footnote about no structural or decorative alteration.
Okay. Yeah.
And signage shall not be allowed. That can't be a requirement, I wouldn't think, if they put one in a commercial zone.
But this is in a residential zone right now. So
are all these footnotes
these are
residential?
Only, this is all yeah. just residential.
Oh, okay.
So I think we can keep the...
Well, then you think E has to be changed then? I thought it was for all of them, but why can't you still require structure alterations to match the surrounding?
We could, yeah. Okay. We could just leave it.
I take what I said back. I thought that was applying to all of them. I think that should stay.
Okay. Then G was about notifying, because it used to be that these things were conditional uses. And then, so that's why I took out H about the hearing examiner. We can't require a conditional use, so there'd be no hearing examiner, there'd be no hearing. And then G, do we want to notify the neighbors if we still have to allow it, even if the neighbors don't like it?
So it'd just be a courtesy.
What's that?
It'd just be a courtesy.
That gives you the opportunity to say that the state is requiring this, and then maybe don't blame the city as much.
Okay, I'll keep that one in.
Everyone else okay with that, leaving that in?
Then the next footnote down, that applies to the commercial uses along 7th Avenue that, for those of you who are on the commission, we added not too long ago. I just took out childcare from the daily care providers. It said childcare and elder care. We're already allowing childcare everywhere. No reason to specially allow it there, just to kind of clean that up. And then the next change is on page 47 of the packet. Well, the change is actually on page 46. So if you look at the table, there's a maximum dwelling units per lot chart. Oh. And so in the R3 zone, maximum of 4. Note, because the state preemption says we have to allow 50% higher. So
we've moved from the daycare back to the
We're back to residences. Housing in existing buildings. And I just put in that language, and it was kind of I put in, you know, per this RCW, kind of like because we're forced to. I don't know if we need to say that. We maybe don't need to, but and I said up to 6 units. I may want to say just 50% more, just to follow the state law, which says we have to allow 50% more.
Yeah. That would be 3, though, right? Because it's 1, ABC, 2, 3, ABC, D, 2 again.
So this is actually...
On the table 2 notes.
So Rob asked me about this, too. And I figured it out, and then I... One setback. 2 is minimum lot size, 3 is garage,
so it should be
4, mm-hmm. not 2. So it should be footnote 4, mm-hmm. and then on the table as well would be footnote 4.
And can I just add that when the state is making us do something, I think you should cite it per RCW so that, like, for
council members, planning commission, when people ask, why did you guys do this? We can have that in our code and say, look, we had to, we made it fit the best we could. So I like that. So I know you questioned it. I personally think that's something you should continue to do.
Wouldn't you represent that as our liaison?
That's my
Should we have the liaison be, have a seat at the table? Didn't ask him. Sorry.
Right here. Can we take a vote?
You can sit right over here.
The short table.
Yeah, right there.
I think it makes more sense for the liaison to be up here with us because it's almost like they're part of the commission.
I am willing to do whatever makes everyone else comfortable.
They get a plaque right there and everything that says their.
Wait. If she gets a plaque, then we.
It's just your
plaque, I will move
bring
seats right now.
Okay, Ann.
Okay, so those are the changes we'd need, I think, to the commercial zone to make both of those things happen. With the additional discussion about garages that I need to think about, more conversion of garages. And,
yeah.
I don't think I can do that one on the fly. I need to sit and ponder that one for a while. I made myself a note. So then in the commercial zones, so page 49 of the packet, okay. It's just adding in childcare centers as allowed in all three commercial zones, where before we had it allowed in C1, C2, not allowed in C3. So it's not a big change. And then the daily care providers, again, taking that out, the childcare out of that one. And just leaving it as elder care. So that would address the child care portion. And then for the housing in existing buildings. So on the next page, page 50.
I have questions on.
So we used to say multifamily residential, not in conjunction with the commercial structure. Which we allowed in C2, didn't allow in the other zones. We had a footnote about being not within 150 feet, which I guess we can put back. If it's new construction, we can still say that.
So essentially we're telling anyone who wants to build that you can't do this, but then after 3 years they can, so, right?
Well, if you want to build it as a commercial building and then convert it in 3 years, I mean, that's a lot of money.
Well, I'm thinking of someone who might want a commercial building with a single residence built into it. What they're going to do is they're going to build residence, but not have it as a residence for 3 years.
Already do that. So if you look at that last line in the chart, residential use in a basement or upper story, told people, I don't think anyone's actually done it, that as long as it's not the street frontage, like you could put it behind or even though it's only says basement or second story. It's an accessory use to the commercial use. So as long as you have your commercial use, you could have some residential along with that.
So they can have a home on top and then have the commercial on the bottom. I know there's one place.
Just like how Main Stop has theirs, how it used to be when just like that, so it can be done.
Yeah, and there's another one that's down there on Broadway that I see all the time too, so it's.
Yeah.
But that's only for new construction, not like pre-existing buildings. Like the one that's down below is he's a multi-family resident within a extreme building. I guess my question on that one is if someone builds a duplex, one side can be a daycare and the other one can be a home?
Well, it's a commercial zone. So I guess if you had
Well, I mean, I know, but isn't it say residential on top, or am I?
Well, but this is, this chapter is commercial zones.
Okay.
So this is saying what residential uses are allowed in a commercial zone. So if you have an existing building, allow them to convert it to multifamily. I just was making the distinction between new construction, because we had that prohibited in two of the C1 and the C3. So I was keeping what we had originally had as far as for new construction, but if they're converting an existing one, then we have to allow it. Existing, if they're converting an existing commercial building to residential, basically we would have to allow that.
Got it.
And then the other change was page 52 of the packet. So this is the design standards. And so if you remember back, we were talking about the architectural features. If they're converting an existing building, we can't require those architectural features if they're modifying the building. So it's just to try to address that.
So then if it's commercial and they turn it into residential for a daycare center, are we still able to do commercial parking for them?
The daycare would have parking. Residents, we can't, if they're converting an existing building into a residence, we can't require additional parking for that residence.
You're looking at they're doing both, a residence and a daycare, is that what you're asking?
Well, yeah, too, but also if there's a commercial building and they want to turn it into a residential daycare, say, for example, the old CBHA building, I know they're trying to do a restaurant, but if they do a daycare center up on top there and they want to have a living facility for that person.
So if they turn into a residence, they don't have to have additional parking.
Right. The commercial use needs the parking.
And then if it's a daycare run out of there, they still have to meet the requirements of one parking spot per
employee.
Then the parking.
Getting down the nitty gritty right now.
The parking would be required based off the commercial use first, not the residential use.
What's the current, if you know off the top of your head, current requirement for commercial? Is it all square footage based, or is it?
Yeah, it's all square footage.
It's somewhat by what the use is. But like retail is all lumped together, retail and service, but there are specific ones that are
separate.
Already
be meeting that requirement. But they can't increase requirement just based on the residential side of it, though. Potentially have to increase requirement based on the daycare because of there being more employees than they had parking for.
But we were going to discuss in a way to put a residential into a commercial parking, right?
Mm-hmm. So can't require more parking.
You can't. But then we're also saying like if you're a commercial and then we transfer you over to a residential, then you're only required for one parking. You get what I'm saying?
You lost me.
We had a discussion earlier about having a residential be tied into the commercial square footage parking requirements. So then.
I don't remember that.
About the daycare thing?
Yes.
So the daycare thing would be totally separate. Even though it's a commercial use, it's only specifically for daycares, not all commercial use. So only for childcare centers can it be converted residential to childcare center. It can't be changed into anything else. Correct. So that's where it would be different, because you're talking about taking a commercial like a C1 and turning it into residential. You can't do that based off zoning and code we already have. So that can't be done.
Okay.
So you can only go one way, and it's only with the child care and nothing else. Is that what you were asking, right?
Well, yeah, because like say if you have a house and you turn it into a child center.
Right.
Right.
No.
It's as far for zoning, it will all stay the same.
Yes.
But when it comes to parking, mm-hmm. we were discussing that that child center will be based on a commercial requirement for
potentially. It depends on what you guys decide.
Obviously, yeah. We would still have to do the process, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. So we're discussing that in the future. We might have a discussion on turning that residential that's turning into a child center mm-hmm. to meet the standards of a commercial parking by that, square footage.
Yeah, and whatever so then, standards you guys think fits it.
Correct. But then if you reverse it in commercial, where we're like saying if a commercial that already has the parking is turned into a child center, mm-hmm. then they're only required to have one parking.
Per employee.
Per employee. Mm-hmm. Because they're using the commercial zoning, so I'm assuming they would have to follow commercial zoning for it. But I don't see why you would put your child care facility there. I mean, you could. But yeah, if you did it in that zone, you would follow those zoning requirements. Okay. Does that make did I say that correctly, Ann?
Yeah.
Right? If you were going to take your child care facility and put it in a commercial zone, you would then follow the commercial zoning guidelines.
Yes. Okay. Yep. Which I'm not sure if we have standards in the parking, so I have to check that.
Child center is going to be commercial regardless.
It is a commercial use.
Yes.
That's interesting. But, you know, commercial use in all residential areas now for child centers based on this new law.
Food truck and turn it into a child care center.
Okay, so the last few changes that I drafted in the parking chapter, page 53 of the packet, I just put the exception, you know, per the RCW, no new parking is required for the addition of dwelling units entirely within an existing building. We have to say that. And I put that in the section about where, you know, where does this chapter apply? So I thought that was a logical place to put it. And then the last thing I did was drafted a new chapter. So this is page 54, a new section dealing with all the other things, like the energy code stuff, stuff about the nonconformity regarding parking height setback, just all of those other requirements that didn't fit into the zoning chapters we were looking at. I just put them all in one chapter, so they're together. I felt like that was the best way to make it not too complicated.
Well, and you've got some clarification cleaning up to do on some of the other ones. And then if anything comes to mind that you might want to add or subtract from that or modify,
yep.
I'm sure we'll talk about that in our next meeting, right?
Yep.
Okay. Do we feel like we all have kind of a good basis for what we're going to be talking about? I'm sure the next meeting we're going to be discussing this, right?
Yes. And I think I'll bring it back so we can talk about it again. Set the public hearing probably for the March meeting. Just to make sure that we, which I won't need to do until after your next meeting, but that's kind of my time frame. What I'm thinking of is I think we want to talk about it again before we set the public hearing.
Okay. All right, then any questions about the Building and Planning Department report from December? Okay. I don't think anyone wants to work on old business yet, right now. Am I right?
Sure don't.
All right.
You got 9 minutes. You might as well use it.
Who said we have to be done at 8?
Wrap it up.
I'm just amazed you went this long. I'm impressed.
So, can I make a motion?
I was just about ready to ask. Yes, you can.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Got a motion to adjourn by Daniela.
Second.
Second by Jose. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Meeting is adjourned at 7:52.
Thank you all. I know that was a lot tonight, so thank you.
I feel like there's going to be a lot going forward.